welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. We're discussing Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim's announcement that his administration will no longer approve procurements without tender. We're discussing this to mark International Anti-Corruption Day on the 9th of December. It's an opportunity for us to address efforts to eliminate or minimize corruption in the country. Joining me now is Dato' Sri Akbar Sattar. He's the president of the Malaysia Association of Certified Fraud Examiners. He's also the former president of Transparency International Malaysia. Dato' Sri, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I want to ask you about your thoughts when you heard Anwar Ibrahim say that now he no longer, his administration no longer wants to practice procurements, public procurements without tender. What was your reaction to that?
So this is a very good move. So I hope the people who are involved in tendering, in the process, and also the approval of the tender should follow all the rules and regulations. And number two, of course, there is a statistic given by the World Bank that at least 20 to 30% of the budget for the public what we call contract are lost because of leakage. And this has been confirmed by our local expert, Tan Sri Ambi Buang, the former Auditor General. He also stated that at least 30% of the public budget on procurement has been lost because of corruption and leakage. So this is a huge amount of money. And then investigation by the MACC from 2015 to 2018, something like, most of the information they investigated are concerned are about procurement fraud, and also involve a senior government officer and also unethical politician. So this is very bad for the country because we are losing a lot of money. Then there is also a study to show that if, because I gather this from a senior officer, that so normally if you still carry on with your direct nego, so normally the contractor will mark up at least 50%. That means the profit is about 50%, you know, that kind of thing. But if under the open tender, therefore, it is only between 15 to 20%. So how much you are losing now? 15 minus 30 or minus 20. You are losing about 30% of the budget, which is rakyat's money. So it is very important for us, for Malaysia, to follow, to make sure that all tenders, except all the critical one, you know, right, something that need for, you know, the emergency contract, that one is okay. But if you follow rules and regulations, therefore, I think we'll save a lot of money.
Okay. So we do know there are some special circumstances under which direct negotiation procurement methods can take place. But when it comes to, having more competitive tendering processes, having just that as an option doesn't actually eliminate corruption completely. I mean, corruption can still happen even in a competitive tender process. Is that true? I mean, where are the gaps that you see within the existing system where leakages and corrupt practices can take place?
It's true, Melissa, because open tender also is not 100%, you know, proof, right? So therefore, I think the most important is the handler, you know. Sometimes you import the best system, the best internal control, the best procurement system from Harvard or from Oxford or from UK or from any least corrupted country like Denmark. But if the handler have no integrity, therefore, I think it will be a big problem. So therefore, it is very important for us also to make sure that those who handle procurement division, finance, are those who have high integrity. So therefore, these are very important because if not, I think we'll be losing the same thing, right? Because temptation is there, because when you come to tender in this country, it is involve huge amount of money. So therefore, I think there are some what you call system or ways, you know, to overcome this problem, such as you must not allow at least one officer to stay more than 3 years in that position, and number two, make sure that, you know, do some what you call integrity screening, and then the most important point here will be the monitoring by the senior officer, correct? But
mm-hmm.
in order to monitor, you yourself have to be whiter than white, correct? Sometimes you you are asking your subordinate, your officer, you know, to make sure them not to get involved in corruption, but you yourself are involved. Therefore, I think it is will be useless. And don't right. ever underestimate your officer. They know whether you are clean or not clean.
You point, you know, a couple of times in our conversation, you pointed to the word integrity. That seems to be really important. But when MACC was looking into corrupt practices within public procurement, they revealed that it was contractors and civil servants kind of working together in what they called cartels to embezzle money. This suggests that it's not just one person, that collusion happens with many people at all levels for corrupt practices to happen. So if you talk about integrity of one person, of the senior officer, of the person looking into it, it's not enough to have the integrity of one person in a department. We're talking about many people who collude for corruption to happen, right?
Yeah, it's true. That's why I said, before you hire anybody, especially in government department, right, you have to do some screening, right? A thorough screening. But of course, sometimes you get the best person after you screen. But what about when they meet up with all these unethical, what do you call officer? They may change. So this is the process of, you know, making sure that they retain the integrity. So this is the role of the bosses, you know, tone at the top, especially, you know, you yourself to show good example. You know what? According to these criminologists, right? One of the theory on fraud will be, including procurement, will be a fraud theory. So beside opportunity, because you are in the procurement division, and also pressure, maybe you want to live beyond mean or you are a gambler. But there is another factor, it is called rationalization, meaning to say that there is an internal dialogue inside you, right? By saying that if your boss get involved in corruption, why can't I? Everybody is doing it. So this is very important. Therefore, I think, and also make sure that the contractor that you give them contract, make sure that they also have their own code of ethics. And make sure that they have performed well, you know, rather than you giving to crony. So the problem in Malaysia, there is one terminology. It is called old boy network. You understand, right? With all, you know, good school, you know, this premier school, you have, normally you go and see your minister, prime minister, they'll give you because of what? Old boy network. But this is dangerous because sometimes you are no expert in the railway system. But I give you this kind of award you the contract is bad because you are not going to do, but you are going to subcontract to others. So sometimes it will go to 3-4 layers. So the last person, the last contractor who get, he may be the last 4th layer. How much did he get money? Therefore, he may reduce all the quality, all that kind of thing. You know? So this is very important for us to make sure that you give the right contractor, and also make sure that you give to those who are really can do their work, you know.
Are anti-corruption authorities, the MACC, are they all aware in the ways, all the different ways in which the system is being gamed, all these loopholes and the intricacies, because procurement processes can be quite big and complex, so there are at every level there's an opportunity, there's a risk for leakages to happen. Are MACC aware of all these different things, and are they doing something about it?
They are expert, you know. They have been established since when? 1960, 1957. They are expert, and they have forensic accountant, and they have all kinds of expertise. But the problem with corruption is that because nobody report, you know, it's a win-win situation. You give, you got something. I receive, I got something. So when do you report? You only report when at the end of the day, you didn't get the contract. Correct? No? So it is too late. Yeah. So it is very important also the role of the public not to get involved in corruption. So we cannot only blame the government official, unethical government official, and also unethical politician, but also the public. Because to me, we are facing integrity crisis. Whether you are a minister, whatever it is, you are government official, or you are working private sector, or ordinary people, we are facing integrity crisis. You know why? Because we have no choice but in order to make sure that your business runs, you have to pay, right? You don't pay, that means you end nowhere. So this is a problem. But of course, for the rich people, big company, it's okay. But what about for those kampung people just want to get a simple license? You have to pay. So we have the problem. It is a systemic corruption in this country. Therefore, I think we have to look in this area. But cooperation from the public and also from government official, they have to report. Because under Section 25, MACC Act, if you, anyone, right, whether you are government servant or the public, if you do not report, therefore you can be charged. But the problem is that nobody report, right? Because they receive a lot of money.
You mean if you witness corruption and you don't report, you can be charged? Is that what the act is?
Correct. If somebody come to know about that, we have some evidence on you that you know something but you do not report. So you can be investigated by MACC. So if they get the evidence, they have evidence, they can charge you because of not reporting under Section 25.1, I think. So there is some law there. But the problem is that because corruption in this country is very rampant. You name it. To me, because I've been reading a lot, among the three, including the present MACC chief, they confirmed that corruption is serious in this country, very serious. And one of the it was critical. So therefore, I think if there is no strong political will from Prime Minister, I think we will end nowhere. So it is very important for Prime Minister, walk the talk. Make sure that corruption, you have to curb corruption and make sure that you do not intervene and also disturb the law enforcement agency. And number two, you must also make sure that the separation of power, right, have to be respected. Then I think we're okay. Because you have to remember, even now, a lot of country, they are happy with the new Prime Minister. They know that you are, your aim is to fight corruption, because this is the only Prime Minister during his first speech. He said he want to overcome economic problem and also cost of living. He also did mention about corruption. This right. is the only one. So I used to say about this because he followed the footstep of the Prime Minister of Taiwan and also President of China. That's what they say. So this is good. So I hope he walk the talk, but make sure that we have a free, independent MACC, free, independent AG. Of course, we have to divide, a lot of
separation of powers.
Separation of power. No, we do not want to have one AG who have discretion power and also the advisor, because you just imagine if he's in the cabinet and then
it's a conflict of interest. I understand. Dato' Sri, thank you so much for speaking with me today. It's been a pleasure. Dato' Sri Akbar Sata, President of the Malaysia Association of Certified Fraud Examiners, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching and good night.